Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Texan sideline reporter Johnny Harris joining us on the show right now. Johnny, how you doing, man?
Well, you know, I was going to give you guys some grief about being away for the last 2 months, but, you know, I figured that was such a nice welcome. I don't know that I could do that.
Buttered you up.
It's good to talk to both of you again, finally. Been like since April or so, it seems.
I know, man. It's been a minute for sure, but it's great to talk to you again, my friend. And we got a lot of stuff to catch up on here, and Johnny, and I think we'll start the major news of the week, I guess, Texans related. I don't think a big surprise. The deadline came and went on Monday with respect to Jadeveon Clowney, and now we'll see what happens with training camp. I guess, Johnny, what's your concern level with Clowney with respect to the season if he's not there for training camp? We know he got off to a bit of a slow start last year, maybe because of the injury and the way training camp was handled with him. What's your concern level if JD shows up in late August or early September?
Well, I don't know. To me, JD's always been a guy when the lights are the brightest, he's going to play. I mean, I think about that playoff game in 16, and it's so funny because he and I sort of got in trouble after that game because somebody was trying to hold a press conference or talking, and I was kind of talking to him over on the side, and he was just disconsolate. Like, you couldn't console him because he felt like he laid it out on a line against the Patriots, and he did that night. And, you know, he's just getting kind of fired up about, you know, man, we should have done it tonight. We had opportunities. I mean, he's just really upset. I mean, I think sometimes people, you know, think of JD and they're like, oh, he doesn't care, he doesn't do this. But, you know, he'll show up. There's no doubt. And I mean by show up, I'm not just talking like physically being in the building. I mean, he's going to play. I mean, the biggest games last year, Colts in game 4, Eagles in week 17. I mean, he was an absolute dude in those games. Week 7 in Jacksonville. You know, he showed up in big-time games. So, My, I'm not going to say hesitant, but I'm glad in some sense that we're playing on Monday night to start the season, because what better way to show America who you are and what you are than to face Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints on Monday Night Football. So am I worried? Sure. Because the one thing I worry about with JD, and people don't talk about this too much, the guy's 270 pounds, but he does a lot of work on the inside where he's going against 320, 325 repeatedly. And I know we see all the highlights when he's, you know, throwing Quentin Nelson to the ground and he is swimming the center and getting to a quarterback sack, but he takes a pounding. And that's the part I worry about, is him taking more of that pounding just because of how versatile he is, that he can play inside. He should play inside, but it's such a pounding. I do worry about if he is not in great football shape early on, does that have an impact? And maybe it did last year at the beginning of the year. I think he said that as such. But, you know, by the time we got to week 4 of the Colts, and look, I know we can't get to week 4 and go 0-3, but if he can get it going earlier this year and he's fully healthy, I don't know how he was physically last year in training camp. I don't know. But I know once we got to week 4, he turned the gas up and he was ready to roll. So, yeah, I'm a little worried about it just because he takes such a pounding. But then again, when the lights are the brightest, he shows up and he plays.
Johnny, along those lines, it's funny you bring that up, because my follow-up was going to be about this edge-rushing, pass-rushing camp that he's at with Julius Peppers and Chuck Smith, and I think it's really interesting. I want to get your thoughts on that, on him doing this extracurricular work with some pass-rushing greats. And just to follow up on what you just said about the pounding he takes inside, I wonder, in your thoughts, how much of him maybe wanting to augment and perfect his edge rushing stuff is him maybe saying, hey, I don't want to give them the choice of sending me inside anymore. I want to be flying off the edge all the time and be supreme at that.
Yeah, I think there is some of that. And I had a conversation with a good buddy of all of ours, and we were talking about talent versus skill. And I think JD's as talented as any pass rusher there is in the league. I mean, he's got every asset you're looking for. I mean, you know, his combine numbers are off the charts. I mean, physically, you look at him and you go, my God, how do you block this guy? but I think JD has not completely refined his skills of rushing the quarterback. What JD had perfected at South Carolina and he brought to the league with him was that inside move. And it's a killer move. It is a killer move when he gets that inside where he darts outside and then he swims to the inside. I didn't see anybody blocking when he was at South Carolina, and I haven't seen anybody blocking the NFL to a degree. But teams start seeing you after a while, and it's not that one guy can stop it, but, you know, a couple guys can. And I've seen him do it where he beats the tackle and then the guard's coming to help. And then, you know, it's sort of a, you know, it's a double team at that point. And, well, how do you get to the quarterback at that point? So I think what everybody would like to see, the team, the coaching staff, JD included, is to really be a consistent pass rush threat off the edge that you can win, not just going inside, but you can win with a couple of different moves on the outside. And I think having a guy like Anthony Weaver to continue to help him with that, with John Pagano as the outside linebackers coach to help him continue to do that. But I like seeing that JD said, okay, look, I've got to refine these skills because I've got the talent. Now I've got to sharpen my skill. And I was glad to see that. And I hope that we start to see that, because I see a guy like Whitney Mercilus, you know, who over the years has added pass rush moves. And it's like, whoa, where do you get the double swipe with the rip? You know, where did he learn that? He's got a number of different things that he can go to in his toolkit. And I sort of liken it to a pitcher. You know, it's like JD is sort of like Nolan Ryan. You know, Nolan had a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, but, you know, his curveball was too fast. There was not enough change in speeds. Once he finally learned to change the speed on his curveball and slow that down, so there was significant difference of 98, 99 mile an hour fastball. And then, okay, here comes an 83 mile an hour, 12-6 curveball. Okay, boy, that's a lethal combination. And sometimes that's all you need. So if he can add just another part to his skill, another pass rush move, I think that makes him ultra, ultra dangerous. And then once you do that, now you've got a lot of different things that you can do as you continue to add those skills. And keep in mind, JD was a guy that when he's coming out of South Carolina, I mean, he physically could dominate anybody he wanted to face. And he still can do that in the NFL for the most part. He can dominate guys just physically. But guys are very skilled. Offensive linemen are skilled. The guys he's seen, Anthony Costanzo, Braden Smith with the Colts, Cam Robinson with the Jags, those guys are pretty skilled dudes. They don't match him athletically, but they're skilled enough that they can handle stopping one move. To throw a couple of moves at a guy over the course of a game, and all of a sudden you've got that nice situation like Nolan was able to finally find and become the pitcher instead of just the thrower that he was back in the early 70s.
John, if I'm hearing what you're saying, it sounds like you believe J.D. Clowney has the ability to take it to another level from what we've seen from him as a player. My question would be, we're not talking about a rookie or even a second or third year player. We're talking about a guy heading into his sixth year in the NFL. So I think the question is, if that light hasn't gone on yet, is it fair to wonder whether it will ever go on?
Well, that's a great question, Rich, and I think it's a valid question. I think they're – how do I say this? I think they're just different levels. I think JD and this is part of his curse, the right word maybe, but we watch JD and we see JD do those things and we're like, oh my, there's no other player in the NFL that can do that. So it's sort of a curse, but there's – pass rushing is – it's a different kind of art, and I think it takes mastering. And I think he has shown that he's taken what he has to this point, and he's like, okay, I've sort of maxed this out, but I can do more. My talent level speaks to me doing more. I've got to do more. And I think that's really kind of the approach. And keep in mind, a couple – I don't know if it was last summer. I think it was the summer before that. He had gone out and was working nonstop with Jay Glazer, out in LA, I believe, doing MMA stuff. So it's not as if he hasn't been working to get better as a football player. I think he is just now looking at how do I refine my skills in this one particular area and being a pass rusher. So I think that's more what it is. I think the light went on for him really to a degree when he had to go through the microfracture surgery, because everything for JD throughout his career was so easy. He could do anything on a football field, and all of a sudden he's got a rehab for 9 to 10 months, and that was hard. That was really hard. I mean, it was the hardest he probably ever worked at anything. And I think that started to open his eyes to, hey, I got to work at this thing. And so each offseason he's put in work along the way in different realms, and people just haven't really talked about it. But now I think because of this situation with the franchise tag, and, well, one of the reasons that people were talking about the franchise tag, he doesn't get the double-digit sacks, and now they're putting two and two together. But JD's always worked at the game after that microfracture. So he's always been working at it. He's taken his offseason, and he's put a lot of time in to getting himself healthy and getting ready. I think now, because he's fully healthy, he can really focus on that aspect and really improving that. And I think that's what he's doing, and I hope that he has a great 2019 season as a result.
Well, John, I mean, I know you and all the folks over there are excited, and we are as well, the fact that late next week it's actually going to be camp time for the Texans. So it's so cool to begin talking about different things to expect and look for as far as the preseason and the regular season are concerned. I know it's July 17th, but if I were to ask you right now, your chalk pick, starting O-line in New Orleans on Monday night, tackle to tackle, what would you say?
Boy, I mean that's a good one. I feel like, and this is the thing, from left to right tackle, and I said this, I can't remember who asked me this, but they asked me who I thought would play left tackle in week one, and I don't know what really is the situation with Matt Khalil. I don't know when we'll be able to see him. So I just think that Julian Davenport is going to end up being the guy over at left tackle. I think Nick Martin plays at center. And in all honesty, the rest is a guess. I would love to see Chantrell Henderson be on the offensive line because I think Chantrell is athletic. I think he was in great shape this offseason. He was in great shape last season too. But with Chantrell, it's been one injury after another. So you kind of keep your fingers crossed that, man, we get this guy for 16 games. Okay. And we say that about too many guys. So we've got to get away from that. But that's really, at this point, I think Julian at left. I think Nick's at center. I think Chantrell is one of the pieces. And really the rest is kind of a guess. Now, Julian's got to prove that he is well beyond 2018. I know people hear that and are like, oh, man, Julian's not playing left tackle. Well, I take you back to Derek Newton in 2014. People wanted to dog Derek Newton out for what he did in 2013. And you looked at him in the offseason and said, that's a different guy. It's a different player. But when I would tell people, Derek Newton's going to start right tackle, like, oh, now he's terrible. What would you give for 2014 Derek Newton at right tackle this year?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So from that perspective, you know, people are like, you know, guys, well, everybody really, guys, ladies, everybody, we all improve at our jobs. And that's the hope with Julian Davenport is that he improves. He had 1 year as a starter. So think back to your first year of being on radio. I know my first year on radio, I sucked. I was right next to Sean and he sucked. And Rich, I'm sure you were better than we were.
No,
so,
believe me.
Yeah, I mean, guys can suck in their first year on a job. It happens. And that's really what last year was for Julian. So now can he take the step to be an even better football player? And that's really the hope. And I think if he does, then, boy, that really helps you out. And it gives you that flexibility to do some different things that, you know, maybe Titus isn't quite ready to play left tackle. Maybe he is. I do think Titus will be on this offensive line. I just don't know exactly where. And I think that's what's going to be fun to me the first couple of days is figuring out what it is they want to do with the two guard positions. I went back and I don't even know why I did this, but I felt the need that I had to, because I felt like I needed the ammunition. I went back on Monday and I watched all 62 sacks plus the three sacks in the playoff game.
Masochist.
And only you, Johnny.
As I sat there and I watched it, you know, it's funny. I kind of broke it into different categories. And I've said all along, look, not every sack is on the offensive line. And that was true. The offensive line accounted really, I kind of broke it up to, okay, these are the ones I would say, you know, coverage sacks. Team did a good job in coverage. Sean had to hold the ball for longer than 3 seconds. I gave those the coverage sacks. Then there was blown assignments. I gave those. There were a handful of those. But the offensive line accounted for about half. But what troubled me most about the sacks, and this is what has to change, is that of the a little over half that I credited to the offensive line, the majority, about 80% of them came against four-man rushes. Just four-man, straight rush. That's it. So you've got five guys to protect against four, and you still gave up pressure, or in that case, you gave up a sack. Those are the things that have to change. You cannot get beat so quickly at the line of scrimmage that Deshaun's all of a sudden running for his life. I can't tell you how many times I was banging the table saying, Fuller's open, and he doesn't have time to throw the football. So from that perspective, that's what's got to change. Four man can't beat five this year. That cannot happen. You've got to be able to get five guys out and around, five guys to protect against four, somebody get open quickly, throw the ball, move the chain, and let's go put points on the end zone. Or let's go put the ball in the end zone and put some points on the board. And to do that, that offensive line has got to come together. Now, I said all along, I think it's going to be a better line. How much better? I think determines the entire 2019 season.
Yep. Appreciate you, Johnny.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.